Welcome to Notes from the Western Edge, a monthly 30-minute on-demand webcast featuring musicians who create on the edges of jazz, new music, electronics, and a broad expanse of sonic spaces in between. In program number 13, we begin our second year by featuring the pianist and author Kenny Werner and the vocalist Karen Allison. Kenny Werner has been a fixture on the New York jazz scene since the early 1980s when he toured extensively with jazz titan Archie Shepp. Since then, he's worked with the Mel Lewis Orchestra, Joe Lovano, Bobby McFerrin, Dave Holland, and Rufus Reed, among many, many, many others. And while doing all that, he had time to write a book that has reached into the musical lives of musicians worldwide, Effortless Mastery. When the 2007 Grammy nominations were announced recently, Karen Allison's name was on the list once again, this time for her new album, Footprints, nominated for Best Jazz Vocal Album. Quite a leap for someone born in a prairie town on the Arkansas River. Currently living in New York City after years in Omaha, Minneapolis, and Kansas City, Allison's unique vocal style continues to reach legions of listeners worldwide. I hope you enjoy the show. This issue is dedicated to the family and friends of Katherine Werner. For Kenny Werner, peace is paramount. Peace on a personal level, and peace between people and between nations. Each time he sits down at the piano and drops his fingers onto keys that release the sounds within, he's reaching for a kind of personal peace that he hopes will radiate outward into the world around him. Werner's music is grounded in a worldview steeped in Eastern philosophy and values. His conversation is filled with ideas and beliefs as old as the Vedas of ancient India.
Worship your own self, because God dwells in you as you. Of course, if we could see that, the whole concept of sin would be blown out of the water, because we'd see the magnificence of who we really are. And that's what the whole holistic movement is about, an attempt to really retrieve some of the integrity that a human is endowed with, instead of just the wretch that they're supposed to be, you know, and that forgiveness is the only way. I think that stuff was a perversion. You know, the only sin to me is not knowing who you are, not knowing how innocent of all that you are, how perfect you are, how brilliant, how much brilliance comes through you. If God was an ocean, and I don't even know if there was a God as far as the word G-O-D, but, you know, if that entity was an ocean and all of us were drops in the ocean, well, that simply explains it. A drop of the ocean contains all the properties of the ocean, but it's a contributing portion of it. Therefore, I am God, you know, or you are. So if all I saw in myself was the perfect, and all I saw in you and everybody looked at as the perfect, obviously, this world would be free of all the problems that it's presently experiencing, especially the ones over religion. But not only just that, I mean, if you knew that when you were looking at someone else, you were looking at your very own self, then how could we let this stuff go on in Africa that's going on? Because how could we let ourselves starve like that? How could we let ourselves become so sick? How could we let people murder us in the numbers that they're murdering us? Thank you.
This is Peace, composed by Horace Silver and performed by the Kenny Werner Trio live at the Blue Note, released in 2004 on Half Note Records. Johannes Weidenmüller is on bass and Ari Konik on drums. In 1996, Werner wrote about his approach to music in his book, Effortless Mastery, published by Jamie Ebersol Jazz. In it, he talks about liberating the master musician within.
Effortless mastery is an attempt to liberate the statue from the marble, as Michelangelo had said. Liberate the master musician from the confined, inhibited musician who thinks he's less than that, and therefore does, you know, performs less, because he doesn't think he owns the properties, profound properties.
Werner's own quest to liberate the master musician within began much differently than most other successful musicians, who usually say, there was always music around the house, or I grew up surrounded by music. Not Werner. He says that he grew up in a cultural wasteland.
Long Islanders were a culture of TV watchers, you know, and I watched a lot of TV, which kind of ruined me, and I'm still trying to deal with it now.
Not only that, he was a very reluctant student.
I was had teachers, but nothing that serious. And I had the kind of talent where I was successful on that level, no matter what I did, whether I practiced or not. And if I wanted to play better, I just did play better if I heard someone that played well. And it really wasn't about the music yet, and it really wasn't about knowing how to study. When I got to college, I realized I was totally ill-equipped to study because I never really did study. It just kind of came to me, and now there was stuff here. First of all, I was for the first time ever, I was surrounded by other musicians who were also talented, but had studied more. And I knew that I was up to their level or more when it came to talent, but I felt very inferior because I really had never worked on music. So when I got there, I mean, I'd always rejected teacher after teacher. I mean, it's not that I rejected them, but they'd tell me to do things and I didn't do them, and I meant to, but I just couldn't get it together to do them. And when I got to college, I realized that that wasn't going to cut it. So I spent a year and a half, very depressing year and a half at Manhattan School of Music as a concert piano major. And that was because I had gone to the concert prep division. And my teacher always saw this potential, so he hung with me. But it just used to frustrate the hell out of him that I wouldn't, apply it. And then once in a while, I would get into a little bit of a practicing groove, and he'd get very excited, want to even have me do a little recital. And then I'd lose it, and then he'd want to drop me. He'd be so upset. But somehow we muddled through. But after three semesters, I realized it just wasn't the place for me. And the classical music was never what I wanted to do. What really brought me into the music was actually a jazz CD, but it had very little jazz soloing on it. It was called In a Silent Way by Miles Davis. And that record did something to my consciousness, which is always what I was looking for, really. It wasn't art. It was to feel a certain expanse in my awareness where I guess I must have had a sort of a underlying depressed thing or the need for and or neurotic or nervous or something, because there was always a need for release. And what I liked about music or a book I read or anything is something that would expand my mind and then create that release and take me on beyond whatever limited form that was keeping me sort of always uncomfortable.
A yearning for release, a search for peace, brought Werner to a teacher in Brazil who was to change his life.
João Assis was a classical pianist who had had a nervous breakdown, and he came back to his family's house and went to therapy 5 days a week and did a very self-loving kind of approach to get back into the instrument, about being kind to himself and only letting the fingers touch the keys and not forcing them, and then letting him learn without forcing himself to learn, so that by the time he learned, in a way, he knew it better than he ever did before.
Assis gave Werner a five-finger exercise to be practiced no longer than 5 minutes at any one practice session, an assignment that drew Werner into uncharted territory.
I found myself going into a really interesting and quiet space where focus came for the first time in my life.
With his newfound focus, Werner remembered the teachings of Madame Charloff from his student days in Boston, which he hadn't understood at the time. She, too, had been trying to show him a gentle and forgiving way to release at the piano. combining lessons from his two teachers with his own insights into the improvisational process. His path of effortless mastery was born, which led into some unexpected directions for the formerly reluctant student.
Since I wrote the book, teaching has been a really great way of getting me out of stereotype that people like to do. For example, early in my career, I suffered from the fact that the traditionalists didn't think I was traditional, but the avant-gardists didn't think I was avant-garde, because my new way of playing was much more, my personal way of playing was much more subtle than the people who were, like, you know, pounding the piano or doing, you know, scratching a blackboard or whatever they were doing to be outside.
In Jabali, dedicated to the drummer Billy Hart, Werner shows his own compositional voice within the realm of jazz. Be on the lookout for a new CD by Werner. When it's released, it'll contain some surprises pointing back to a time before Werner was a jazz musician, to his younger days listening to Elton John, the Moody Blues, and the Beatles, to what he calls trippy music.
There's much more jazz in my music than I ever meant it to be. That's because I went to Berkeley, you know. When I came out, all my friends were jazz musicians, and all my gigs were jazz gigs. But there's really something I hear. I just did a CD in New York for Blue Note, by the way, the first time ever for Blue Note, with Dave Douglas and Chris Potter and Brian Blade and Scott Colley. And on this record, there's still jazz, but I really tried to, there's a little bit of electronics, I really tried to get back to a little bit to that trippy idea. And certainly the last third of the record comes closer to what I really feel like than what I felt like since I started playing jazz. You know, jazz is always a little too much of the message than I ever intended, but I sort of feel a little trapped by it when I'm, you know. And so my jazz, because of my unrest about that, is probably more distinctive for it, for the fact that all I'm trying to do is bust out of the box that they call jazz and find something that's totally expresses my soul like Days of Future Past did when I first put it on, and I had to put it on again. I felt that way about a few jazz records, just a few.
Kenny Werner's spirit is a restless one, always searching, always reaching for the release that music can bring to both performer and to audience. From the release of his next album to the ones that will surely follow, anyone who tunes in will be part of that quest for release. In Los Angeles, for Notes from the Western Edge, I'm Richard Paskey. Thank you. It was instrumental jazz that first attracted Karen Allison while studying classical piano at the University of Nebraska. Since then, her love affair with the music has taken her far from her Midwestern roots and her birthplace of Great Bend, Kansas.
Our love's a story that documents our journey. Memories are landmarks that comfort and assure me you'll be with me always. I'll follow the footprints we left and I'll find you there. Time's changing currents can drown you in a day. Painted in still life, the past becomes a refuge, free from pain and sorrow. Follow the footprints we left, and I'll find you there.
Before an early set at Hollywood's Catalina Jazz Club, I asked Allison how she found her way to jazz.
Through classmates, I was already in the sort of the folk rock pop bag too, doing some talent show, folk things like that. And then I was in a couple different pop bands too, wedding bands, variety bands. And then they turned me on to people like Cannonball Adderley, Thelonious Monk, Nancy Wilson, Dinah Washington, Carmen McRae. And that was it for me. And then it started to creep into my repertoire. I just learned a lot of tunes.
A lot of tunes indeed. We're listening to Allison's 10th recording for the Concord Jazz label, released in April 2006. It features tunes by a host of jazz greats. One of her earliest influences, Nat Adderley. The saxophonist to whom she dedicated her 2002 Grammy-nominated album, Ballads, Remembering John Coltrane. The pianist Horace Silver, and Wayne Shorter, who composed the title tune, Footprints. This is Bruce Barth on piano, Peter Washington on bass, Nick Phillips on trumpet, and Todd Strait on drums. Nancy King provides vocal harmonies with lyrics by Chris Caswell.
Just like a treasure, your touch was stolen from me. When it seems heartbreak and loss will overcome me, I can hear you calling. Follow the footprints we left, and you'll find me there. I believe one day that we'll be reunited. Silencing demons that turned up uninvited, but until that happens, follow the footprints we left, and I'll find you there. I will find you there. We will find our way.
In her liner notes for In Blue, released in 2002, Allison wrote, "I love the way the blues let you testify. The blues are universal. It's hard not to respond to them." Here she is on Bobby Timmons' classic Moanin', with lyrics by John Hendricks.
Every morning find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I've seen. Life's a losing gamble to me. Cares and woes have got me moaning. Every evening find me moaning. I'm alone and crying the blues. I'm so tired of paying these dues. Everybody knows I'm moaning. Lord, I spend
It's not surprising that the blues is central to Allison's work. She came of age musically in Kansas City, the musical hometown of so many blues-endowed musicians. Count Basie, Charlie Parker, Jay McShann, Hot Lips Page, the list goes on and on. After a few years in Minneapolis, after graduating from college, she made her way to Kansas City.
When I got to Kansas City, it's sort of like I came home somehow. You know, when Minneapolis was a good experience for me, and I was doing a lot of different things. But this, I got a gig that I was working, you know, 5 nights a week, and, you know, really started to get to know the musicians I was working with, and that formed a real musical bond, and they taught me a lot. And the scene was really hopping then. It's, you know, every scene goes through, it ebbs and flows, and that happened to be a time when people like Danny Embry had just moved back, and Bob Bowman had just moved back, Todd Strait had just moved back, and Rod Fleeman was there, and so it just seemed to be the timing was good. So that's my experience with it. There's a whole lot of soul in that city, I think. I found it to be a real, I guess it's more southern, you know, and just found it to be feel like home to me.
But Allison likes to travel as well. This is Coração Vagabundo, My Vagabond Heart, by the Brazilian Caetano Veloso.
Meu coração não se cansa de ter esperança de dia ser tudo que quer. Meu coração de criança. Eu sou a lembrança de vulto feliz de mulher que passo por meu sonho sem dizer adeus e fez dos olhos meus chorar mais sem fim. Meu coração vagabundo quer guardar o mundo em mim.
While majoring in classical piano in college, Allison minored in French. In 1999, she released From Paris to Rio, singing in French, English, and Portuguese. But what language is this? Allison also bebops with the best of them, scatting on tunes like Parisian Thoroughfare by bop godfather Bud Powell. She writes lyrics as well. Here's one from early in her career.
I told you once before, my friend, Jordan, this is the kind of thing I love to do. So if you say you really want me to, I play for you. I used to dream of playing jazz all night. So if you ask me nice, well, I just might pick up my microphone and sing for you, only for you. Jazz is a way to get lost in a place and to work out your cares and woe. If you close your eyes, you will soon realize that life's lesson is to let go. And so, my friend, now you can plainly see this is the kind of thing that is for me. As long as we can play in harmony, life is a groove.
When I was bouncing back and forth from Kansas City to Minneapolis, I remember driving, you know, to a gig. That's a 7-hour drive about, you know, and just listening to Clifford Brown's version of Jordu and getting a piece of paper out and writing, and I'm driving my little Mazda, you know, and writing those down. It came fairly easily there. It's just a fun little lyric, like, about wanting to sing jazz.
And sing jazz she does, from coast to coast and continent to continent. But Allison still holds close to her heart songs from her dinner music days, classic songs like this one, where she plays piano counterpoint to Danny Embry's guitar. Thank you.
first time. Ever I lay with you, felt your heart so close to mine. I knew that our joy, it would fill the earth and last to the end.
In Los Angeles, for Notes from the Western Edge, I'm Richard Paskey. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Next month, we'll explore the music of two pianists, Denny Zeitlin and John Beasley. In Los Angeles, for Notes from the Western Edge and Fresh Ears Media, I'm Richard Paskey. Until next time, keep listening.